From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Clay Jones, author of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. Well, let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Jones in their conversation.
In a chapter titled Literal Immortality Projects, you cite the folks who actually believe that science today makes immortality possible. So there are a lot of people pitching this. They're saying that science is going to make immortality a reality. In fact, there are some quotations in your book from people who say that we're already living in the generation that's going to see that.
That's right. There are scientists today who say there are people alive right now who will never die. In the book, I quote Sean Parker, who was the first president of Facebook. He says, because I'm a billionaire, I'm going to have access to better health care, so I'm going to be like 160, and I'm going to be part of this like class of immortal overlords. Notice, he says, the idea is that science is advancing so quickly that if we can just live until science is one day going to figure it out, and we're going to live forever. So if I could live, let's say, to 120 or 130, certainly I'll be able to live to 160, and then forever, because science is going to figure it out where we're going to just be able to live forever. And there's a lot of atheists and a lot of naturalists that think that the science is going to figure it out and we're going to be able to live forever. Well, that's not going to happen. Part of the thing is people radically misunderstand the mortality tables, you know, that people are living much longer today. Because it's true that at the turn of the 1900s, at the turn of the 20th century, the average mortality rate was about 48 years old. Well, today, it's 78 years old, and people go, see, we're living so much longer, and that's going to keep going. I know it is. It's just going to keep going. That's a real misunderstanding, because the reason people only lived to 40 was because of the huge amount of infant mortality. Once you got to 20 years old, we're not living any longer now than basically we did 100 years ago, if you make it to 20, because so much of that hurt the mortality rate, mortality table, was the fact that so many children were dying in infancy due to infection, and antibiotics has changed that.
Yeah, and of course, this is exactly what the Bible says, right? You live 80 years.
That's right.
Or
that's
if right. By reason of strength, 80.
That's
so
right.
Either 70 or 80 years.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you could be like my dad, die at 74. You could be like my mom and die at 93. But the fact of the matter is, those are the basic parameters. And if you have people that live over 100, those are outliers.
Oh, yeah, those are tremendous outliers. But people are still, and the desperation, I'll mention that, you know, the founder of Bullet Coffee, David Asprey, he's expecting to live to 180, and as I put in the book, he says, to accomplish this, he has his bone marrow extracted from his hips and then has the stem cells filtered out and injected into every joint of his body, his spinal cord, and his cerebral fluid. He intends to do this twice a year. He also takes 100 supplements a day, religiously follows a low-carb, high-fat diet, bathes in infrared light, chills in a cryotherapy chamber, and relaxes in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Do you see the desperation? See how desperate this is, but see, these people like Sean Parker and the founder of Bullet Coffee, they have the money where they can do this, but they're going to find that this does not work for them. It's not going to work for them, as you know, as you saw. I mean, the founder of Prevention Magazine, as you know, was on the Dick Cavett Show back in the day, and he had boasted that he was going to live to 100 unless he was killed by accident. And so he's on the Dick Cavett Show being interviewed. He's only 72 years old, and here he is talking about how he's going to live at least to 100, and he dies of a heart attack while he's still on the set. I think, in fact, if anything, my warning to people is do not put your trust in medical science. Put your trust in Jesus, because medical science isn't going to save you.
You have a whole list in your book, and just reading that list is quite an eye-opener. All these people who said that they were going to live for a long period of time or did something to enhance that project, you have a page and a half, maybe 2 pages in your book about how their lives ended prematurely.
Yeah, they died young. Pritikin of the Pritikin diet slashed his wrists in a hospital bed. He was 70 years old because he was dying of leukemia and he just couldn't go on facing the world. Michael Montignac, who came up with a diet that's the basis of the South Beach diet, died very young of pancreatic cancer. And on and on and on it goes. I mean, I think, in fact, I don't know this for sure. This is just a hunch of mine. I think that what the Lord's doing for these people that are saying, here's the secret to living for a very, very long time, if not forever, I think the Lord smote them early. But like I say, I'm not saying that's for sure. So, you know, I don't like it when people do that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Don't trust in anything but Jesus is the bottom line.
You also, I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about those people who are trying to brush death into the closet or clever with clever cliches or coming up with some immortality project and so forth. I was reading a leadership manual this weekend, a really thick volume, and I was trying to work my way through it because of a project that I'm engaged in, which does have to do with global transformation. It's a really big idea. At any rate, reading this leadership manual, I came across a quote by Steve Jobs. He was speaking at Stanford University at the graduation ceremony back in 2005. Oftentimes when I read about Steve Jobs, I wonder, you know, 15 years later, could he have imagined that Apple would be a $2 trillion company that crashed that barrier just a week or so ago? But anyway, he said, remembering that I'll be dead soon. That's the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life, because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment, of failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what's truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know of to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You're already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart. And then when I was reading that, I actually marked up that quote to something like, knowing that I'm going to live forever is the most important realization I've ever encountered to guide me in making the major choices in this life. Because everything, all externalities, pride, embarrassment, fear of failure, and the like, evaporate in the face of immortality, leaving only what is truly important in light of eternity, remembering that you're only going to live not once, but live forever is the best way I know of to avoid the trap of thinking that you have nothing to lose. You are already one heartbeat away from your future reality. There's no reason not to live as though eternal life depended on it, because it does. He had a focus on the shortness of life. And so he's saying, if you realize that, you're going to let it all hang out and make the biggest impact. But I think if you have a focus on the fact that you're going to live forever, that really enhances your expectation and your ability to make a difference while you're still alive in your mortal body.
Of course, I completely agree with you. In fact, in that speech, Jobs said, death is the single best invention of life, which I thought that was a bizarre thing. I doubt a few years later, as he lie there dying, if he thought that was true. But, you know, the thing about it is, so what did Jobs do? Well, he was involved in symbolic immortality. Build a big company, build a big name, do all kinds of, wherever you become a household name, and then you can live on, in a sense, forever by, you know, look at what I did. I built Apple. The trouble is that the judgment, that's all going to go away. And as you know, Bertrand Russell says all of our labors of the ages and all the wonderful things that we've done are only going to end up, if there is no God, in a universe that's in just debris. Our sun's going to supernova and burn our planet to a crisp, and then it's going to go to absolute zero. And so you're not going to live forever. And what's going to happen if there is no God? Apple computer is going to be burned to a crisp and then freeze and just be a bunch of just junk floating around the universe. But if you're going to live forever, man, that changes everything.
Yeah, but an alternative to that, and you've probably never thought about this, is brain upload. Oh, no, you wrote about it in your book. Brain uploading.
Oh, yes. That's just, yeah, people, I'm going to be able to upload my brain into a computer. That is the desperation. And there's a guy named Ray Kurzweil who's really into this. We're going to be able to upload our brains into a computer, and that's just simply not going to happen. we hardly know how the brain works. And as David Chalmers of New York University puts it, they have no idea how consciousness works. How are you going to transfer consciousness into a computer? Let me just say this again. They have no idea. They only can guess and, you know, whatnot, but they have no idea. How are you going to get your consciousness into a computer? You're not going to get it into a computer because consciousness is immaterial. That being said, Hank, if I were a materialist, I would think it was possible. If I were a naturalist, because I go, well, consciousness arose by sheer chance for us, and if that's possible, then maybe we can engineer it. But, of course, not being a naturalist, I know better. I know that our consciousness is immaterial. And because it's immaterial, you can't transfer it into a circuit board. It just is never going to happen.
One of my sons, who was the one who came up with the idea of Hank Unplugged to begin with, he's sitting in the studio right now listening to you, and he wants me to ask you a question. He said, make sure to ask Clay about how fewer Americans believe in God or religion, yet more Americans believe in an afterlife.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Clay Jones. Are you afraid to die? No one has to fear death. Clay Jones wrote Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It to Help You Conquer Fear, Give You Joy and Peace, and Guide You into the Truth of the Glory that God Has Planned for You in Eternity. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or just visit us at equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Is there life after death? For many people, the prospect of death is terrifying. They try to live as long as possible, hoping that science will find a way to extend their lives. Most of us are in denial about death. What if the solution is not denying death's reality, but recognizing it and relishing the reality that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will live fantastically forever? In his book, Immortal, Clay Jones explores the ways people face death and highlights the truth that God offers a path to our deepest longing, glorious resurrection to eternal life. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Clay Jones as they continue their conversation.
One of my sons, who was the one who came up with the idea of Hank Unplugged to begin with, he's sitting in the studio right now listening to you, and he wants me to ask you a question. He said, make sure to ask Clay about how fewer Americans believe in God or religion, yet more Americans believe in an afterlife. And he added, a microwave generation, which is what we're experiencing, that feels entitled to everything, including immortality, without action on their part.
Well, that is true. It's interesting to see those studies. But if you watch, Gene and I like some reality television, so we'll watch like America's Got Talent or something like that. And one person after another, and if your listeners pay attention to this, is really interesting. They'll go, oh, I know my mother's looking down on me right now, or my father is, or my brother or my son who died early is looking down on me right now. This vague, undefined sense of the afterlife. And I think the thing is, what's going on is that we have taught a whole generation of children that you are valuable no matter what you do. That your value is just simply because you're a unique individual, and uniqueness, as you know, doesn't impart value. I mean, every dog do is unique, but we don't sit there and say they're valuable because they're unique. But we've told an entire generation you're valuable just because you are you, regardless of how you perform. And so this generation thinks, well, then I should live forever because I'm valuable and I don't have to do anything to earn it. So I should be able to just live forever. And I think that's what's driving a lot of socialism, by the way, and communism. I'm going to come out with a blog on Marxism soon. But what's driving a lot of it is I deserve more than I'm getting, and I'm not willing to work a lot harder to get it. I just simply need to get it. And so, yeah, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that the whole generation of kids have been raised up to say, you're wonderful, regardless of what people think of you. And so that's, you know, anyway, they use the expression on them, which is not entirely fair. And obviously there's many exceptions, the snowflake generation, because if the heat turns on at all, they start to melt. And their value is in their uniqueness, because every snowflake is unique. Well, I'm sorry, but that does not impart value. But then they're going to be shocked that they don't just simply deserve heaven. For what? For nothing, of course, because they're just good people and they should go there.
What about artificial intelligence and living forever? What about a supercomputer becoming conscious? A lot of people are talking about that, writing about that, there are movies about that. What's your perspective?
Yeah, that's just pure desperation. They talk about the singularity, and the singularity is where computers become conscious, and then they begin to think on their own. And there's a lot of movies that talk about computers becoming conscious, for instance, Skynet in the Terminator movies, and then, of course, in the Matrix movies. I don't remember what the computer was called, but the computer becomes conscious and decides to enslave everybody. And so people are like, the singularity is going to occur, and that's where computers become self-conscious, and they're then able to improve themselves. Again, we have no idea what consciousness is, none. And I'm talking about, like I say, researchers have no idea what it is. They do not know what it is. And so the idea that all of a sudden computers are going to become this way is crazy. Not only that, by the way, computers are not very smart. And I know a lot of people might find that surprising, but computers are not very smart. If you ask a computer, where is President Trump's right leg? A computer does not know the answer to that question. You can ask a three-year-old, where's President Trump's right leg? I mean, it's with President Trump. If President Trump is in Washington, where's his right leg? Well, it's in Washington. A computer does not know that unless you tell it to know that. And, you know, I mean, there's so many metaphors that we use every day. Computers don't understand at all. If you say Juliet is the sun, a computer doesn't understand that because it's going to look and say, well, the things we know most about the sun are they're 93 million miles from Earth and they're largely gaseous. But that's not what we mean when we say Juliet is the sun. And I go through a lot of these kinds of examples. Computers are actually not as smart as a lot of people want to believe that they are. They can do some tasks much better than humans can. There's no question about it. But there's a lot of things that they just simply do not understand, and frankly, they never will understand them because they don't have that ability. They'd have to become self-conscious and start improving themselves. But again, that is a misunderstanding of what consciousness is about in the first place.
So you say we don't know what consciousness is. I was going to ask you the question, what exactly is consciousness?
All I can say, you know, my best is that this is something that was given to us, of course, by God, that we have souls. And I'm sure you would agree with that. This is simply that the Lord created humans to have souls. Machines do not have souls. They're not going to ever have souls. But this is something that's come to us from the creator of the universe. It's a gift. It's his creation. And so, you know, your consciousness comes from God.
Yeah, so, you know, in addition to the historicity of the resurrection, so we don't believe in the resurrection blind faith, but faith founded on a refutable fact. But in addition to being able to demonstrate that the resurrection is not an odd predilection on the part of the Christian, there are convincing reasons to believe that humans have an immaterial aspect to their being that transcends the material and thus can continue to exist after death. And I've written about this in various places, but a lot of your friends, philosophers and teachers and professors and so forth, have written about this as well. So, for example, logic. We can demonstrate from the perspective of logic that the mind is not identical to the brain by proving that the mind and the brain have different properties. For example, J.P. Moreland explains how we can know that beyond the peradventure of a doubt. We can look at the legal perspective. We recognize a sameness of soul that establishes personal identity over time. And as a result of that, you can't get out of a crime because your physical aspects change over time. And therefore, you're not the same person that you were when you committed a particular crime. Libertarian freedom, freedom of the will, which presupposes that we're more than mere material robots. If I'm merely material, then your choices are merely a function of factors like genetic makeup and brain chemistry and the like. So there are other ways in which we can, even though it may be beyond defining, as you just mentioned, the ways in which we can demonstrate that the immaterial aspect of our humanity is not wishful thinking, but is a reality.
Oh, it's absolutely, yeah, sure. I mean, your memories of your 16th birthday are not material stuff. I'm not sure I can remember my 16th birthday now, but but it's not, you know, it's not material stuff because we have consciousness. And our consciousness, you know, I mean, looking out the window right now and the thoughts that are coming into my mind, how are they material stuff? Well, they're not material stuff. They're immaterial because God has given us this ability. And the idea that, again, that you're going to get a computer to do that, they're never going to get a computer to do that. It cannot happen.
Your book is fantastic. I love the book. Again, this was a book that my son David gave to me. He said, Dad, you got to read this book. Immortal: How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. This book, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org. Again, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us. Before we end this podcast, I want you to reinforce why so many Christians fear death and how they can overcome that fear. You talk about it in the book. You talk about the fact that we have to love the Lord, we have to revel in the Word of God, we have to have a robust appreciation of the glory that awaits us. And you also mentioned something that you mentioned earlier, that suffering, that in the kindness of God, He allows us to suffer so that we will not cling to this present world and so that our faith will be purified of all the literal and symbolic immortality projects that you also cover in your book.
Well, I just have to emphasize again that 1 Peter 1:13 says that we should be self-controlled and sober-minded so that we can set our hope fully on the grace to be given us when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's not three commands. He's saying be self-controlled and sober-minded so that you can set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We need to do that. And unfortunately, I'm not even going to say unfortunately, because of how easy it is for us to love this present world, the Lord often brings us into suffering because He loves us. But He brings us into periods of suffering so that we will not love this world and we will then be refocused on heaven. And so this is what a loving father does. And we need to do what it says in the beginning of Hebrews 12, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, we're all going to be glorified with Jesus. Scripture teaches that unambiguously, that if you're a Christian, you're going to be glorified with him. We're going to be glorified with Jesus. We need to set our hope fully on the glory to be given us when Jesus is revealed. And if we do this, by the way, then the horrors and the trials of this world will become small. And that's where your happiness comes from, is setting your hope on, not on the world, because if you set your hope on the world, then your joys are going to go up and down. If you set your hope on what you cannot lose, namely the glory that awaits you in heaven forever, then your joy is not going to go up and down.
Clay, you never cease to amaze me. I mean, our mission statement for Hank Unplugged is to bring the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet directly to people's earbuds, and you never fail to do that in your writing, in your speaking, in your teaching. And as a result of that, you're loved and deeply appreciated, not only by the staff of the Christian Research Institute, but people all around the world.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Dr. Clay Jones in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It by Dr. Clay Jones. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.